What it up, what it up, what it up? Welcome to Not Our Ancestors, which is a weekly podcast dedicated to all things Black, including pop culture, politics, prominent figures, and what we like to call our most valuable Blacks.
Most valuable Black.
Those beautiful voices are your host this week, which is myself, Wesley, and there's Joy and Tay.
What's up, peoples?
So, how's everybody's week going?
It's over.
You know what? I've said my highlight this week was my credit card got a little hot because it was Prime Day, you know, during this week, which is kind of ironic because, you know, when a lot of people don't have money, understandably, but I needed some things in my house. So I bought some things. I could tell you this much. I almost bought a new bed frame that had bed bugs in it and has somebody who's experienced that. I said, no, thanks. Okay. When the reviews were from 2018 and it's 50% off, there's probably a problem.
Yeah. Glad you left that with Amazon.
How about you?
Yeah. I did some Prime Day shopping as well. I did my... Ooh, she's not going to listen to this. I got her her Christmas present. She doesn't have any luggage at all. So aww. I bought her this cute luggage set with the little too, mini here, pack your shit.
Look, I got you a new pair of shoes to just keep on walking around the door.
They were very distinct because they're like the Minnie Mouse ears with the bow all over it.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Like I'm pretty sure she'll like that. And then I got Dan something as well, but I'm done for Christmas shopping. My week wasn't bad except for my delivery fiasco, but you know, I didn't kill anybody, even though they
whoa,
though their life was you in know, danger. I think it should be okay, like, so let me tell like, you about third party delivery. Like, Best Buy, do better. Like, you're on the verge of going out of business anyway.
We were just talking about Circuit City, too.
Right, they're going to be a Circuit City eventually because y'all have this third party delivery company that don't have good customer service.
So it's not like, even them that delivers it. It's a whole other...
which makes it worse. That's why, like, I cussed out multiple people at Best Buy as well.
Ooh, I wanted to...
As an aggressor.
Yeah, he literally told his manager that he feared for his life because I'm a police officer. Well,
what, I mean, what did you have on? Were you, like, in, like, camo and combat boots?
I was
and
in a t-shirt
like...
that said... my police department.
Oh, that's okay. Well, that's
so I was in like shorts Saturday and slippers. Like, I had my house shoes on, and he was intimidated.
But was, by, you know what? Was it a white man, shoes. Though?
Yes, of course.
So you just, you still, this chocolate, tall, in shape black man with his, and his police department shirt. I might be a little intimidated, too. Especially if I was the one that fucked up. But
I mean,
that's, you know.
He's like, I'm not going to let y'all bully me. You're going to take this shit out of my house. That's what you're gonna do.
You know, so basically, I think that that's hilarious because as much as we're also the victims of like just Karens being called on us for all the most ridiculous things, here we are, Tay, example, being a consumer, totally in the right, had completely a product delivered to his
yeah,
home,
right.
The person installing it
broke it,
negligently installed it,
and then said, "Oh, it happens all the time."
And then decided to be offended and felt. He was in danger because Dante had
well,
on his,
you know, white fragility
fire
is a thing. And right? He was literally fragile and he made a mistake and didn't want to get called out on his mistake. So
should I just be owning mine at work?
Man,
I don't give
like,
a fuck.
Look, I done broke your washer, sir.
I'm like, oop, it's broke. Okay, so I would have gladly taken it back just to be for my shift to be over, but that's
he
just me.
You would have been better off like, just saying that it was broken. Like, it's broken. Instead of saying it's stripped, meaning a brand new product came into my house and the bolts are stripped on it already. That's because you're an asshole and you don't know what you're doing, you know, and you're in a rush.
It's always so clean in there. Have you ever been to a dirty Best Buy?
No, it's amazing. Yeah. I will give one person credit at Best Buy, the manager at the actual store. Because when the delivery people left, I collected Dan and got in the car. We are going to Best Buy right now because I am pissed. So we get
oh, you
there
was on your Karen shit at
oh,
this point.
Man, yeah. Let me tell you.
She put on her, her bus driver wig.
Into she was ready to go. So hard. They were like, can we help you? Yes, manager, now. Like, forget telling you what's wrong. I just want a manager. If you're not the manager, shut up and go get him. Okay, thanks. Then the manager comes out. He worked his magic, I will say. And I think the only reason he was really super helpful... he was definitely in the family. Like, he was a gay man.
Hey.
And he was like, I see two gays in distress. Let me help them out.
Or he was like, get these two distressed gays out my face. I don't have time for it today.
Actual but child.
No, he did a good, and he followed up like multiple times.
So it was just more so much like you said, the third party.
It was a third party altogether, but Best Buy customer service on the phone is trash.
Well, they working from home anyway, so and I don't know about that. Well, it was a good week, yeah. So what about yourself, Joy?
I had a really good week. I honestly, the highlight of my week happened yesterday when I had the pleasure of doing a puzzle, which I have not had an opportunity to do. I died when you told me this. Listen, I'm sorry.
Tell them what it was in, though.
Okay. The puzzle was in French.
I'm not even mad at that. Like, you're like, fuck English. I'm going to do a whole different language on this one.
But it was so... And
okay. Complete it.
Right, right.
That's your thing. So, you know, tomorrow is going to be something else. So, he went and he bought me this puzzle. And he even went as far as, like, FaceTime me in the store. Like, which puzzle do you want? So, of course...
Oh, that's so nice.
He's nice. But me,
I just want somebody to just wash themselves regularly. And that's even, you know, that's so nice.
Not on my puzzle.
No, I'm sorry.
It's a deer with like these super cute pink framed glasses, like very very modern glasses of this deer and like this French script in the background. And this morning I was like, okay, so what does this actually mean? And we discovered that it's a very morbid story. It's not information. It's like about a kid like getting sick, but then not really like.
So you're gonna have to fill us in on this story. We should do a drunken fairy tale.
That would be funny, but so no, that was my highlight. I did a puzzle this week. It was dope, and I had a good productive week at work. And like I'm here to talk about.
Oh, work was trash for me, but
well, that's all weird. So
got my flu shot.
So did I.
Oh,
I
got mine. Being proactive.
I didn't want it, but you know.
Gotta do it.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting, that's one immunization I can trust. So I'm going to go ahead and get that. But, okay, well, let's do some Did You Cares, maybe?
Oh, yeah, why not?
You done with that? All right. So okay. I'm going to go with, let's see, which one do I want to do first? Did y'all watch the show Dexter on Showtime?
Yes.
You know they're doing a revival?
No.
I think they got picked up for 10 or 12 episodes.
I saw that, yeah.
And I'm ecstatic. Like, I loved Dexter. I'm here for it was such a good show. And now that I'm actually in law enforcement, it makes it a little bit more entertaining as well.
Okay. Isn't he a serial killer?
Yeah, that works for the police department.
Did you watch Dexter?
No. So that was one of those things where I said, oh, I'll wait till it's over and I'll watch all of it. But clearly, I never.
So I watched Dexter. And I think as most people listening to the podcast, we were in college when Dexter was like popping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
I was watching Alias in college. Shout out to Tony for that.
But so Dexter, you know, it was basically like the dawn of people becoming murderinos, people getting into serial killers, into like the morbid, macabre kind of like, do you know what I mean? Like shit on TV, which I'm totally here for.
Right.
You know? So when I started watching Dexter, so he is basically a serial killer. Like if you don't know,
a very good one.
He's a very good
serial killer.
So eloquent, and I use eloquent.
So he's supposed to be the best serial killer in this fictional world.
Not the best, but he's right.
Or he's just up there where it's like, if you had to like the all-time top-notch serial killers, he's
so,
like up there.
So he's in law enforcement.
Yeah, he's a forensic, like scene. I can't think of their name. He's a forensic. He's in forensics.
Right.
He does blood splatter and stuff like that. Investigator, yes.
Right? But he's a serial killer, right?
So he comes onto the scene with this, like, background of being, like, you know what I mean, a sadistic human being himself, and he works in law enforcement. So, like, his background story is he was raised in super abusive home as a foster kid,
right.
So he developed this sense of empathy where he wanted to basically be in law enforcement, rescue people, but then also he wanted to punish
the bad guys.
Yes. So he got
okay.
So he only murdered people who were bad.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just randomly killing people.
So that's
to indulge his inner monster, but he was only killing bad guys.
Right. The people who got away with stuff. Like, they weren't going to jail. So he was like, oh, I guess I gotta take you out.
So he's a straight up serial killer. Like,
yes.
Okay.
He seems
to never get caught either, right? They don't know that he's been killing these people, right?
I honestly, like, here's my...
Got it.
My secret is I didn't finish the series.
Okay.
So I still probably have one or two seasons to watch, but I got excited when I seen that there's going to be a revival with, I forget the actor's name, but he's coming back.
Yeah, that's where I saw the headlines.
So it's going to be, I think it's going to be really good. Yeah. It's something you might, if you want to finally, like, catch up. It's a good show. Like... And I'm behind. If you ever needed to, like...
I mean, I probably won't watch it, but I think it's great because I knew a lot of people did watch it, and it was popular. Well, so, it makes sense.
I feel like most of my Did You Cares have to do with, like, TV and film.
Okay, cool.
But my next one is Coming to America, the second one. It's not going to theaters anymore. Yeah, it's going straight to Amazon.
What was it, for $125 million, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I kind of knew that was going to happen, seeing how, like...
I didn't see a date for it yet,
though. I think it was supposed to come out around Christmas time. Okay. So they were, hoping for it. Because, on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Garcia Bouvier is in the movie.
Okay.
So they were asking her questions, and she was just like, I think it's, we're still pushing for a theater. So I'm not surprised it got sold. I want to see it. Yeah, so I'm definitely care.
I care.
And I got Prime, so I'm good to go.
What about you, Joy? How do you feel about Coming to America 2? Or what is it? Is that the name of it?
It's Coming to America.
There's like a
2 something like that.
But bottom line, do you want to see it? Do you care?
Okay. I'm absolutely here for another Coming to America, always.
Can you imagine the fashions you're going to see on there this time? The
black magicness of this, because all these black actors.
The fashion, I think that was a really good point that you hit on, Wes. The fashion is going to be exquisite, especially now that we have all of these new black designers being recognized on these platforms, because we're now able to kind of show off our greatness. So I think that when they come back with us, Coming to America is going to be
over the top.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is great. Oh, I'm sorry. Michael C. Hall is the name of the Dexter era.
Okay.
That's very good. Just to circle back.
But yeah, just to circle back to that. But yeah, so I'm definitely here for it. But I mean, I'm also here for any black cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Just be
there. Absolutely. Speaking of black cinema.
Yes.
You know, we lost Chadwick Boseman this year. Unfortunately, 2020 is trash.
That was awful. But
what's worse is his wife, Simone Ledward, she had to file to open a probate case because he didn't have a will.
Oh, God.
So, I didn't bring this up just as a did you care, because I feel like we all care. But it was more so we as a community need to start paying attention to the things that have to happen after we pass. You have to have a will. You should absolutely make sure those things are in line and in place, because going through probate, she's going to lose a ton of money because you have to pay for that as well. You have to pay for an attorney, all the stuff that you have to and it holds up. I'm sure he had money. You know what I mean? He's fucking Black Panther. But
and he constantly was working.
All that is held up. She's not going to really have access to any of that, any of his fortune
until
after it goes through probate, which could take years.
Jesus.
So I brought that up just to say, we need to start taking care of ourselves. I actually
planning.
Right.
Chad and I had a conversation about that recently because and just jokingly, I saw a commercial about life insurance, and me being somebody, I'm 33, I'm like,
buy one, get one plots, you know.
What I mean? Life insurance, that's not something that I necessarily paid too much attention to. It came with the jobs that I had, it was kind of a thing, but now, especially because, as we'll talk about later on in the show, how important all of our choices are and how, how that affects the way that we're governed, the way that the rules impact us, when it comes to life insurance, when it comes to all of those, key planning things. Absolutely. We need to be more proactive younger than we've been in the past, and that's not something that we talk about enough.
You never know what could possibly happen. All of us are young, we expect to live many more years, but unfortunately life doesn't always agree with what our plans are. So to take care of your family, you should set life insurance up. You should have a will. People always say that trusts are for the rich, but they really aren't. People should look into opening a trust. It protects everything from probate. So you can set up a trust. I literally just did this because I've recently lost my mom, and I realized that my daughter, I'm all she has left, really. And I have assets to pass along, but I don't want her to deal with having to go through probate and all that other stuff.
Especially by herself. After
it costs
that,
a little money up front to do, but it's good because now that trust exists, and exactly how I want my assets to go, that's what's going to happen. And there's no probate needed. So, yeah. And just like the post, like afterlife conversation, most people don't want to have it because it's a hard conversation.
But I just had this conversation recently with someone the other day, and I was like, you know, we as Black people have to come to an understanding that, yeah, you can't take, we always had this saying where it's like, but you can't take this money, all this money with you when you die. I was like, that's not the point. You're supposed to have something to carry down to the younger generation so that they can extrapolate upon that to build something. Right, like you need to build some wealth. And I think we should all challenge ourselves to like try to get to those conversations because it is essential. Like,
talk about like just a high point in building wealth. I saw this super encouraging article this week about a father who for his 13th birthday gifted his daughter a house.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
The idea was this is going to be a legacy in their family. Yep. Every generation will gift down a piece of property.
And that father was like, this house is going to be your responsibility. Yeah. Like, so she's learning how to manage this property and money and things of that nature at 13.
I love that.
Like,
I love
that's awesome.
I think that's,
great. All right, well, the last thing I got. So one of the school districts here in Western Pennsylvania, specifically Penn Hills, we could throw them under the bus. Their board is talking about, and keep riding over them because this is trash. Their board is considering lowering the GPA requirement for student athletes to 1.0.
Wait, stop. Okay.
A D average.
Go ahead.
A D average.
Go ahead.
And hold on. What would be the reasoning behind this?
Well, the good initial question. Reasoning, the overarching reasoning behind the article, or behind this in the article that I read, was that, like, because of COVID, like, kids need, like, you know, other outlets. And, you know, like, if they don't have the grades, they can't participate. So there's all this stress and depression going on. But being an athlete is a privilege. Like, you have to make, you're at school for a reason. You're in school to learn and get an education. If you're pulling D's,
You don't have time for sports.
You don't have time
for sports. Yeah, you just don't have time for it.
At all. So, I mean, I care about this because I think it's stupid. Like, I think it is a... I think 2.0 is too low.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, yeah. Joy?
I care about this.
Fingernail?
I care about this because, number one, I think because of COVID, the fact that they're using that as a reason behind the grades and the GPA slipping... using COVID, I think that's just an opportunity for them to take the pressures off of the parents because the majority of these students are being now homeschooled. They're half and half in school, they're half at home, they're half in the classroom, and it's challenging for parents, it's challenging for the teachers, it's challenging for everybody to basically get on track and to be able to help to deliver a education that is worthy of the type of education that they need. And I think the fact that Penn Hills, which is a predominantly African American,
which frustrates me even more,
which is a predominantly African American school district, is choosing to then put sports as a priority, is just another
over education
of how we're so used to taking Black people and using them for our well and our taking them for what they're useful for. So we're for them not to be educated as long as they can then participate in athletics because athletics is what finances are.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That is exactly
there it is.
That's exactly what it is. Joy. Like the fact remains is that athletics, even at the high school level, brings in income. So it's like if these kids can't play, then that income is potentially going to go away as well. And then my biggest issue with this,
right?
But
there it is. And here's the problem: Anthony Watermelon slices.
These high school students, like 98% of them, aren't going to play at the college level, and they damn sure ain't going to the NFL, NBA, or any of those other major leagues out there. So they graduate high school with a 1.0. What the hell are they supposed to do now? Like, they literally can't do anything. They're not going to get into any school. Like, you haven't trained them for life.
We're still fighting about fracking and there's like no middle America almost anymore.
Right.
So like you have all these people in Allegheny County who are African American who are getting this level of education that is far below the standard
subpar.
Of the state.
It is
but
subpar.
They're able to at least give us the entertainment of some football.
And then when they turn 18 and graduate,
put them in the criminal justice system.
And there's
I just don't understand. How do you come around to say 1.0? Like, let's break this down. If you come out of a semester and have a 1.0, what actually were you doing?
playing sports.
Like, there's that doesn't even make sense to me. It's like, you, what you do? You put your name in the right slot on a piece, a couple pieces of homework. Like, that is honestly, a standard. Like, that is just ridiculous.
Why even come to school? I do care, just come to practice. Yeah. Just come to practice. Don't come to school.
Essentially, like, no shade to the school because I know that there are a lot of really awesome teachers.
Right.
All kinds of, like, yeah. I know personally, like, we all know teachers in Allegheny County and outside that are, like, bending over backwards.
Yeah.
Doing their best. Doing everything they can.
It's unfortunate to say, more often than not, we see the students getting left behind. Are the people who can give us something now and then you can dispose of.
Right.
Like, yeah, like right. You know, yep. Right. You may graduate.
You're and right.
After you that, it's on you.
You may break your ankle. You may not.
I mean, they might as well just say at this point, listen, you could sign up for school, but if you play a sport, you don't even got to do no work.
Just show up to practice.
Just say that. Like, Jesus Christ. A 1.0.
Yeah, that's like, unacceptable.
It's sad, and it's also
and
just
any parent that is
how does any superintendent even allow that to happen?
And any parent, like, how is any parent going to allow that to happen? You're not playing any sports if you come into my house with D's. You're just not. Like, no, don't even add. You might I'm not even see any slip for you to play.
You might not see me show up for class the next day if I'm bringing home D's just because I was playing a sport. Like, I think Barbara and Lewis would have.
Your life is.
It would have been over. Yeah,
walk into my house. It'd have been over. Straight D's. So, like, you shouldn't even be thinking about asking me for anything else. You should be pleading with me not to kill you. Is what you should be doing. But That's it.
That
makes
me sad.
Oh, I know it is. It's sad.
Did you know that AMC Theaters is trying to let you rent out an entire theater for $99?
For what though?
Because they're losing money.
That's kind of lit. Like,
well, so to watch a movie, obviously.
Listen, who said watch a movie?
But like, for what?
Look, who knows?
Like the whole theater or one, like
one actual? Yeah, like a time.
So like theater 10. That's mine.
The boom, $99. I don't know how long, but like, you know, it is what it is.
But what do you do in?
I don't
theater,
know. I know this much. Whenever this starts, they need to hose down every theater when that's done because you can already tell what's going down in those rooms.
Ew.
Like. Exactly.
I'm sorry.
We
will talk about politics. We're gonna take a break first, right? And then we can dive into some politics. So we'll be back, guys.
Back and this is the middle of the show where we discuss
the best part of the show.
The meat. That wet.
What did you say wet?
The wet ass politics.
Nice.
Goodbye.
I'm here for it.
Well,
this is the politicking segment. So
we have some important stuff to talk about this week. Yeah. Let's hop into it. Let's politic.
So I'm gonna start. Like, so there's this new, they're not new actually, QAnon. Let's just get into it.
Okay.
I want to read y'all what QAnon is. Like, a direct quote from this article. It says, QAnon is the umbrella term for a sprawling set of internet conspiracy theories that allege falsely, that the world is run by a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who are plotting against Mr. Trump. I love that they use Mr. Trump. I really appreciate the writer of this article. While operating a global child sex trafficking ring. So, QAnon.
Go on.
No. QAnon is literally equal to Trump's base. Like, these are the people who are out here pushing these theories that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, George Soros, Oprah Winfrey, Tom Hanks, Ellen DeGeneres, all of these people are part of this cult, and they are trafficking children, and they are also eating people. Like, I just don't get it.
Illuminati. Like,
it literally makes no sense that, like, they're getting so much attention, and it's because of the internet. Like, they have a platform, and up until this week, they had multiple groups on Facebook, multiple Twitter handles. A lot of those have been shut down because they are literally feeding people, like, misinformation. And Like, it's been going on for months, and it's worse because of the pandemic, because a lot of people are at home now, and they don't have shit else to do but to be on the internet reading dumb shit and believing it. I don't understand why people believe so much ridiculousness. So I just wanted to talk about QAnon and how ridiculous it is.
I remember, okay, so this is like, this has come across me multiple times, not like in person, thank God, but just for me, like reading news and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh, I just brush over, because the first couple times I saw it, I was like, this can't be serious. Like, this is not a thing. Like, this must be a slow news day. Shit. Roll forward, like, I don't know, several months into the next year. It's like a full on actual idea, like a deal situation. People actually, there are actually people running on this platform for
a woman in Georgia.
There's one in Delaware too.
And it looks like the woman in Georgia is absolutely going to win. And so there will be a QAnon like fanatic in the House of Representatives. Insane.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you know what's dangerous about that? If you look at the past of history, this is how all these stereotypes of like Jews have started. Like, and like a black people, you get these people with these crazy theories and mindsets, and then they go and spew it, and they get enough people to believe it that they actually make laws that actually do
harm
people. Yeah,
but I think that it's the difference, though, is the internet is so it QAnon started like in 2017, and it started posting these ridiculous posts on Twitter, on Facebook.
It was the Pizzagate stuff, right?
Pizzagate was part of it. It just grew astronomically, and it got out of hand. And usually when there's always been conspiracy theories. Always. There will always be conspiracy theories. The problem is that like it's so easily accessible through social media and through the internet, and no one has denounced or like in the beginning no one denounced or like tried to like curb that information from coming out, and people just started like these idiots that are Trump supporters just literally hooked onto it, and now they believe it. They believe everything that comes out. They believe that Trump in his speech has like secret codes for them, and he's getting ready to like drop, you know, all the information on these high profile individuals and send them to jail. Like, they believe that this is true.
And this is like a fully, like, mostly, like, big Christian base, too, right? Like, they think he's, like, the savior.
Yes, they do. They think he is the savior.
Like, this is, like, serious.
I think one of the things that, like, Tay, you kind of touched on with, and even in the SNL that we were just watching, where they were essentially, like, mocking Trump and his negligence and how he responds to stuff. Like, I knew nothing about the QAnon situation, right? So, like, right. When we talked about it this week, was the first time I'm like, oh, okay. And then I went back and did a little bit of homework, and I saw that Trump obviously so haphazardly declaring ignorance, mm-hmm. when also knowing the gravity of acknowledging that sort of group does. You know, I thought that that was just another example of how negligent he is in his role as a leader. We listen to all those commercials where they talk about his speeches are so divisive and the things that he does is so divisive. He is just getting away with like murder, being able to continuously on these social media platforms spout, retweet, however he wants to describe it, these like belief systems, which are clearly divisive, clearly based in all kinds of ridiculous bullshit.
And false as hell.
Do you know what I mean? And he's not held accountable to it. And like you said, like that's his base. People thrive on that. And that's, again, one of the things that as we're trying to have these conversations about moving towards change and like getting real things in place that can give some social justice to all of these downtrodden groups. Like, we need to have real conversations, and we can't even begin to have those real conversations if the president is like, what? No, finger in my ear. What's QAnon? Right? Because he knows what that does.
He knows that that group is a supporter of his. Yep. Like, everybody associated with it, every theory that they put out there supports him. So, like, why should I say that QAnon is not good? Why should I like separate myself from them? Because they are helping me.
Yep.
They literally are. And it just goes to shit. Like, most people, when conspiracy theories come out, you know, you might give them a hot second, and then you realize, oh, this is conspiracy. Like, get out of my face. I'm not reading any more about this.
Right.
But I feel like Trump supporters are so uneducated that they can't tell the difference between a conspiracy theory and, like, actual factual information. Like, they don't, they hear it from this one source.
Or they just don't care.
I think it's just they're uneducated. I don't think.
I mean,
because a lot of them are smart people too.
I was gonna say it's easy to say they're uneducated, right? Because that's my opinion too. In a nutshell, I believe that they're uneducated. However, I'm also intelligent enough to know that it's not just a lack of their understanding. It's that these ideas and these principles directly are in line with the things that they want.
Yes.
Right? So yes. It's so not
the
like...
educated ones will absolutely support Trump and QAnon and anything else as long as it's getting them what they want and what they need and the control that they want. Like, look at the courts. You know, they packed all the federal level courts with, like, Republican, staunch Republican, extremely right individuals. They're trying to do the same thing with the Supreme Court now. And, like, most people don't pay attention to any of that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Many people don't realize that those courts have been packed over the last 3.5 years.
No, can you explain? What, when they say packed, what does that mean?
So, partially, it means that they, like, put judges on the bench. So, like, they... People have been saying packed because there's a lot of judges being added. Not like added additional seats. These were vacancies as well. Like, Obama did leave a lot of judgeships like vacant.
Okay.
Like, I will knock him for that. Like,
okay.
Dude, you should have filled the... But also, you got to think that he was dealing with a Republican Senate as well. And all of those judge appointments had to go through the Senate too. So he left them empty, but at... Not completely his fault, because obviously
they're going to
push through all his judges as well. Now that Trump is here, they have an opportunity to get the judges they want, which are Republican. They're pro-lifers. They are, you know, those individuals all on the bench. They packed the courts with, they actually filled the seats that were vacant.
Oh, okay.
So it's just, that's just one example of, like, people in power, like Mitch McConnell, who... like, took this opportunity. I don't think he's uneducated. I just think he had a means to an end. I want these things.
Right.
Trump has given me these things.
Right.
QAnon is helping Trump and me. So why should I disavow them? Like,
I just, I don't know. For me, it just don't work. I can't sleep at night. Like, if you'd have, I don't know if you actually,
have a soul.
Well, I guess you just have to also believe it. There's no way that I could actually, like, do some stuff like that and think, like you said, like, there's a means to an end for, you know, it's an end game. If my end game involves, like, hurting people off of just a false lie, just a lie in general, just made up, no basis, I just can't operate like that. That's
I wish there were more people in the Republican Party like you.
Well, Wes, that's why we are, like, where we are.
And, you know, I'm a petty bitch, so it's like, that's too far for me. That's way too far.
In those positions, making those type of determinations, and that kind of, like, goes back into, well, it kind of bleeds into my subject, talking about, you know, how dare we kind of pass judgment, do you know what I mean? Like, where do we as, you know, individuals, where is it that we feel comfortable casting blame and whatever, and so that's kind of my politicking for this week. Guys, this isn't, it's not light. It's, like, a little sad.
Oh, so do I need to, like, light some candles?
Yes.
And, like,
I got the Kleenex
right here. Yes, get the candles, get the Kleenex, get all of that. Just in terms of how we are affected by the people in power and how much they control aspects of our lives that we don't even necessarily recognize until it's something that is full front, like, until it's something that impacts us, right? Like, for example, if you have somebody in a family with COVID and it necessarily impacted you. And so this is something, obviously, you guys know my criminal justice background, you know, Tay, his criminal justice background.
Oh, I thought you meant from being in the system. But.
Shade. So, but so I wanted to talk about the executions that have been going on in Texas. And it's basically something that's been overshadowed by much of everything else that's going on. So before I wanted to get into it, because this is an article that I found from a really dope website called The Intercept. I don't know if you guys know about it, but it's a political website. They have a lot of really well researched, comprehensive articles about things that matter to me, to you, to all of us. And they definitely focus on the things that kind of get missed in the media more often than it should. So this article was written by Lillian Segura, I want to shout her out. She is a writer. And less than a week after executing Christopher Viviella in front of his mother and aunt, the Department of Justice announced it will kill Orlando Hall next. So in Texas, there have been...
They said they do capital punishment.
Yes.
Okay.
So in Texas, there have been pretty much a rash of executions as of late. So just to give you guys a rundown, Christopher Viviella, his mother, Lisa Brown, is the, you know, one of the prominent figures in this story. She has been very vocal in the execution of her son. He, along with an accomplice, murdered two ministers in his youth. He was 18 at the time.
Jesus.
He was sentenced to death. Obviously, him and his accomplice were sentenced to death. And over the extent of his time incarcerated, he basically was an example of, you know, the criminal justice system doing the right thing. You know what I mean? Rehabilitation as opposed to being a punitive kind of situation. And then on the heels of all of the injustice of people getting murdered by the police by accident, I think it's very interesting to highlight all of the murders of us. And when I say us, because the death row is populated primarily of us. Wow. That's taking place kind of behind the scenes as we're all kind of not really paying attention. You know what I mean? So
is Orlando his accomplice or is that just the next guy on the list?
No, that was just another guy on the list. Okay. Yeah. So just to get into it, like, and again, guys, just check out this article. It's very well written. I'm going to just kind of like go down it because it was just so dense and it was filled with like so much passion that I had to share it with y'all, you know, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Okay. So Christopher Viviella, he was killed recently by the state of Texas. His older sister was waiting with his mother in the funeral home for his ashes, like, after this. It's just a very touching story. So his mother described the situation as she was like collecting the ashes of his body. And I really want to touch on this because I think while we all focus on the crime and we focus on the punishment part of the criminal justice system, there's not just the individual who's a part of the criminal justice system. That person is somebody's son. That person is somebody's sister. So all of the things that they did, you know what I mean? They have a rippling effect on the people around them. And I think that that's something that gets overlooked a lot. So one of the things, again, about this story that moved me a lot was just like the emotion and the history behind it with the family speaking about it. So his mother described walking over to the casket and basically like putting her hand on the casket and touching her son, and she described it as the first time that she had touched her son in 20 years.
Because he was locked up.
Right, Jesus. You know, and she was kind of caressing his body, and she noticed that the whole back of his hand was bruised. And his hand was bruised because of the IV, because, you know, and these things. Yeah, so basically, 1 week earlier, her son had been executed September 24th. He was indicted and sentenced to capital murder for a carjacking and the murder of two young youth ministers in Iowa in 1999. At the time, he was 19 years old, you know, and his accomplice at the time was 18 years old. Both were sentenced to death. And after the Trump administration restarted the federal executions following a 17-year-old pause, Viviella became the 17th man killed in the Terre Haute death chamber since July. So when I'm saying it's like a rash of executions.
17 since July?
Since July. And it was, again, a 17-year pause that Trump reinstated. Okay. So even to those people paying close attention, the loved ones of the condemned, the people who were being, their lives were being taken, the stories were mainly uncovered in the social media, even though the Bureau of Prisons in that specific state, they do things like arrange for the reporters to come to the grounds for the day of the execution. You know what I mean? Just in terms of giving the family, even the person, the family of the condemned, giving them some humility, right? Like, you're still putting somebody to death. And until this particular story, none of those allowances, nobody had taken advantage of coming to the prison, trying to bury their son. Right. It was the Bureau of Prisons kind of put a little bit of kibosh on it and kept things quiet. And this is, again, in light of the fact that 17 people have been sentenced and executed since July, right? So, I mean, just before I get like any deeper into that, I can be emotional about stuff, but I think it's just, it's a very unfortunate thing that we spend so much time focused on all of the ways the criminal justice system does us wrong by accident, that even the ways in which the criminal justice system is doing us wrong, quote unquote, you know what I mean, playing by the rules, it is still such a disparity in how African Americans, minorities, are treated in that system, right? So we look at the 17 people that were executed since July, mm-hmm. and if we go and we do a rundown on it, it's going to be predominantly minorities, right? Even though that doesn't make up the total populace of people on death row being minorities, that those two things might not even correlate. But the people that have been executed, you know, and why is that? Like, why are these things going under the radar? Why are we not talking about that?
I mean, I always find it difficult to look at when they do an execution, because it's always the family that wants, you know, justice, and then the family that's like under the understanding like that they still believe their loved one and that they did not commit this crime, you know. But usually when it's ones where they actually do commit the crimes, even still, it's like, what does this person do the whole time that they were in jail up until they died?
I mean, I also, like, I don't want us to forget about when I say the person who's committing the crime, whether they did it or not, they're not an individual who is on this planet and doesn't have an impact on other people around him, right? So this execution that took place on the subject of this particular story, his mother and his sister went to this execution, right, where a lot of people don't have that opportunity, and they had to sit in a van for 3-4 hours outside of this death house before they were even allowed in. And then they only had the accommodations of a porta potty and water in a cooler, right? So imagine the impact on those individuals. They're there to watch their son pass on, their brother pass on, after he's been on death row since he was 18, right? 20 years of making amends, 20 years of, and in the story, they talk about the individuals in the prison who spoke highly of him and about how influential he was in setting an example for people to turn their lives around, right? And then you have his mother and sister who, in their final moments with him, their final moments to say goodbye to him, are relegated to a hot ass van in the side of a murder house, right? So it's not just about the execution of that person. It's about the entire system that condones execution, because who are we to then say we are the judge and jury that can then at the end of the day be okay with taking someone's life?
No, I mean, capital punishment things, when I don't know, I always fight with myself about that, because sometimes when they do like heinous stuff, like that guy went in and shot up that synagogue, like when people are, to me, it's just like, you can't be in society. I don't know. There's no way to reform that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Is that me being like too like involved in the actual emotional aspect of what just happened there? Or is it like, can someone reform after that? And then it's like, are capital punishment bad or not for that? Like, do you want them to still be here? Like,
I don't know. I mean, capital punishment is obviously legal. It's kind of like the conversation we had last week in regards to the grand jury.
It's the
like,
law.
And honestly, I'm kind of like you, Wes. I'm kind of on the fence about it. It depends on like how heinous the crime is. But people tend to be on death row for as long as they're on death row because they are appealing their case and trying not to die. So they're spending, you know, 5, 10, 15 years fighting in court trying to get their case reopened or a reduced sentence that doesn't involve dying.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Got it.
So the hard part for me, well, to answer your question that you asked a minute ago, I think that we don't pay attention to death row cases because, one, we're in Pennsylvania, and I can't remember the last time we've executed someone through capital punishment. So it's not big news here. You know what I mean? Now, there are obviously, you know, red states specifically that have the death penalty, which it occurs more often. But I just don't think that no one is giving it any national attention because it, to a lot of people, it's not a big deal. It's like they did the crime. This was their sentence. They were executed. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't.
It's like, well, you know, it's like, well, you knew they was going to die. So it's like, you're like, okay, but still, it's like, so it's just whole, morbid. It seems weird to me.
The whole me being devil's advocate all the time, the whole like second and third order of effects. So like, I'm the condemned, I'm going to die. And I have family, you know, I have a daughter, fiance, all that. They are going to be affected by the loss of my life. But also, like, there are those two pastors that are dead now as well.
And that caused a ripple through their family.
Right. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? And, like, a lot of people, there are a lot of people who feel like an eye for eye is sufficient. You know what I mean? Sure. And I'm not saying that it is or isn't.
No, they're.
I'm just saying that that's kind of why, like, I don't think people really care about the second and third order effects of the condemned's family. Like, a lot of people
don't. That's true. They really don't. They really don't discuss that. Like, they don't.
I mean, going back to what you said, Dante, like a whole, like an eye for an eye. And I think that that's like a part of our human nature. Like, I know personally, if I can imagine myself in a situation and capital punishment was on the table for somebody who had wronged me, I'm trying to imagine that myself right. in that situation, right? Yeah. I right. can totally get it. But one of the things, and I want to shout out to New York Representative Adriano Asfilat, who came out and said, basically, is a fact that this is another thing that while we're talking about on this podcast, especially is, and I'm quoting, "We've got to get louder about this," he echoed in a new report by the Death Penalty Information Center. "Not only are Black people overrepresented on death row today, defendants convicted of killing white victims are executed at a rate 17 times greater than those convicted of killing Black victims. Instead of the 7 men executed in Terre Haute, almost all of their victims were white." So later, we have all of these activist groups coming out, and they're saying, like, okay, fine. If you're going to at least continue to promote the death penalty, let's get some more transparency in it. And the Bureau of Prisons met that request with basic silence, right? So then it calls someone like, so now what are you hiding, right? So you have people right. who are saying, like, okay, fine. If you're going to do this, we already acknowledging that, again, 17% of the victims who their assailants are on death row are white individuals versus that of Black individuals being sentenced to death row. Okay, great. So now let's talk about what their life is like on death row. Let's talk about those final stages, because one of the things that this article talked about was the impact on human life, right? For those individuals, like we talked about a little bit before, but in the prisons, they're getting denied things, right? They're not even getting, you know what I mean, basic human goods. So, for example, one of the defendants who was just executed, he made a final wish for KFC, right? Seems like something super basic.
Damn.
And they he was denied that because the bones presented like a safety hazard. You know what I mean?
Damn, he couldn't even get no KFC.
But, you that's know, that, rough. That is, like, I'm highlighting that because that's, like, something easy for us to kind of wrap our minds around. But that's, like, a basic.
Okay, you know so here's mean? The... here's
so
the...
there's victims on both sides of this. There are victims who are victims of the system. There's victims to the system. There's victims who are adjacent to the system. And more importantly, as we're in this political climate, which is why I want to talk about it this week, as we're wrapping up this election cycle, is the Democrats, as we talk about how much they oppose the capital punishment, neither Joe Biden nor Kamala Harris came out and have made it a point in any of the conversations on any of the political platforms that they've had. This whole election has been around other things. Do you know what I mean? Not that those other things weren't equally as important, if not more so, but it just, again, it's another one of those things that gets lost in the shuffle because there's so much work that we have to do.
Is there anything on their like platform, like online on their platform that mentions capital punishment? Because I mean, like, everything, remember, I have a list of,
is it a bit, is that a big issue right now though? Like,
it's not, in my opinion, because it's obviously not being discussed. That's why we're talking about it. Yeah, now.
I mean, but I don't, like, even think they have
the
a.
The thing is, it's still an issue, and like, I got a list of things that of reasons why you should vote for Joe Biden. There's 100 of them.
Right.
I mean, but Joe Biden
talk
was
about all of those. He can't talk about all those things. You know what I mean? So, like, is it on his platform at least?
Joe Biden was originally instrumental in the expansion of the federal death row. Like, now he's disavowing it. So, if it's not on his platform, it needs to be. Because right. he, well, in particular...
disavow, like, when did that happen? When did
I'm sure if you were to ask him right now, he would say, like, he right. disavowed.
I mean, but if you go as far as to say you're, you know, neither against of them. Something... then it should be on your platform, and we don't know because we didn't look. So it could be.
I mean, I would think, and maybe I'm wrong. If we're going to talk about like tackling police brutality and the criminal justice system and how it, like, you know, churns out Black people, I would think death row would have to be part of the conversation
because
they have to get there at some point. I think so.
The whole issue, they kind of like umbrella it under criminal justice reform. Like,
right.
I feel like that's a topic that is, it should be, if it's not.
I would think so. And if it's not in there, then that's a problem.
Well, I mean, you're saying that like the bulk of the individuals on death row are Black and brown people. And, but it makes sense. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it makes sense because of how many black and browns are in jail in general.
Right, compared, that's, right.
Like, yeah. There's a huge dichotomy, a huge difference between the amount of blacks that are incarcerated compared to others.
It would make more sense.
So it makes more sense that more individuals on death row are black and brown versus other.
Right.
You know what I mean? And all that to say, again, like, this just needs to be something that we are going after. Like, criminal justice reform needs to happen, period. The fact that, you know, these individuals are on death row and they're convicted at a higher rate for killing white individuals more than when a white individual kills other people, that's ridiculous. Like, those discrepancies all need to be brought to the table. And it's like, this is why we need criminal justice reform. Because look at how we are treated in this system. Mm-hmm. The legal system, you know, like, this is legal. Capital punishment is legal.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
And not everything is, just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's morally correct. You know, slavery was legal at one point.
Right.
So, like, obviously there's room for change. We just got to make that change happen.
That's what, yeah. I would like to see whatever this, do they have a thing out on their plan for, they said they have a plan for, like, reform, but.
But the fact that we're having this conversation is important, right? Because as we're coming to the polls, or I'm sorry, as we're going to the polls, right?
Well, some of us we already have, went.
Some of us already went.
We are. I went already.
But do you know what I mean? But as Dante is talking about, like, yeah, the disparity amongst individuals on death row, black versus white, yeah, it's crazy. And yeah, this is all based on the criminal justice system locking up more black people than white. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the root of it, again, is all, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? It comes, the first thing is who's in charge of being able to lock up people, right? Those are the police. Who elects the police? Who selects the police? Like, it's the democratic responsibility on this most basic, like, factors, right? Democratic. You have to, as a political, like, aware person, as a politically aware person, and I'm guilty of this myself, because, like, this was missed to me, right? Like, this was something I wasn't even aware of, all these men being sentenced.
We can have
a conversation.
Yeah, but once you know, you're supposed to.
And once you know, once you know better, you'll do better.
Yeah,
we're sitting here talking about you know, death row and the capital punishment and all that right now. But there literally is another topic that's just important to black and brown.
I know, right? We're not talking about.
We just don't know. You know what I mean? And I think I appreciate you bringing this up, because now we do. And like I've been saying for a while, even in this matter, we just gotta vote and elect the right people and stay on their necks. We need to stand on their necks once they're elected. Yeah. And be like, this is what we want. This is what we elected you for. And if you don't fight for it, we will elect someone else next time. Yeah. Like, we're not playing these games no more.
I agree.
Like, I'm all about following the law. If it's legal, it's legal. It might not be right, but it's legal. So let's do something about changing it to make it not legal anymore.
Yep.
That's just the only way. That's the only way it's
going to
change.
That's the honest truth. All
right.
And so,
how are you going to change it, Wes? What's your policy?
Mine is, since we're talking about, like, changing things or whatever. So, due to COVID, Miss COVID-19, whatever you want to call her,
shady bitch,
current reigning, you know, during the voting season, you realize, oh crap, like, you know, how are we going to get our votes in? So, those of you who voted, you know, your first round when it was during the general or the primaries?
That's primaries.
That's the first time I ever done mail-in voting. Like, I did absentee ballots when I was in college here and there. But, you know, you do all this shit. So most of the country right now is either doing mail-in voting or they're going to go and weather the storm and stand in line to go, you know, put their votes in. You know, thankfully, if you have an early voting state, you can do that. But so now we're doing all this mail-in voting things, you know, because of COVID. And now they have found a way to politicize this. And, you know, our president and his supporters want to then talk about election fraud, you know, all the voting fraud, all these things that he always has ran on when he even won. And so he keeps bringing this up. So if you have not noticed, even in our own state, there have been two incidents of postal workers taking mail and throwing out mail.
I did see that. That was very
scary. Like, this is how far we are getting into believing, like, you just talked about this QAnon situation. Like, people actually are, like, thinking, like, I don't even know if it's just disgruntled workers or people really have a political agenda behind this. We had a mailman taking mail out of his house and putting it in front of his front step and getting it taken to the dump for God knows how many weeks before someone called and they came and arrested his man. Then there was another situation where at Prasad, they caught someone throwing a mailman throwing mail in the trash can. So you have that. And then on top of it, you also have laws in different states about mail-in voting. So, for example, in our state, you're supposed to put your ballot in the secrecy envelope,
yes.
Which is that basic white envelope in there that fits into the other envelope that has your identification on it, so that when they get your ballot, they don't know who you are. They just know that you turned in a ballot.
Correct.
That could get your whole ballot thrown out if you don't put it in that white piece of envelope.
It is.
Right.
You got to follow the steps.
Then, right, I get it. The steps. But this is like, you know, you take it from a small process and now everyone's like massively doing it. And it's like you're finding out how the Democrats and the conservatives are trying to find ways to like politicize this mail-in voting situation. And it's just like, God damn it. Like, we already have voter suppression regularly. Now you have situations where a state where you have to have a witness signature. The witness signature is not only you get your ballot thrown out. Like, you have an area where there's a situation where a machine printed out the wrong ballots to a wrong group of people in our own county, and they have to then resubmit more of these ballots to these people. Do you know how much more stress this is going to cause the American people when we finally try to vote for this, to get this man out of here?
I think that,
like,
the one thing that you were talking about with the markings and stuff like that, I've seen recently on social media them basically letting people know if when you're at the polls and you're voting in public, if you see the voting attendant put any type of marking on your ballot prior to giving it to you, you should also ask for a duplicate ballot a new ballot, because those can be thrown out. And that's what you do when you're actually at the voting poll in public. And then also, not to mention, Chad and I were laughing about this, or also crying about it, maybe, voting and the language in the ballots, right? The language is so confusing. And they have, in a lot of these states, they have all of these other things that are being voted on at the same time. And you have a already politicized populace who is angry, who's confused, whose tensions are high. Then you give them this new form and way of voting, and then you further complicate it by making the language on the actual ballot difficult to follow. Like, how shitty can you be?
So I I've been in the military, so I've been around,
right?
So I've voted
multiple times.
Yeah, I've had to do absentee ballots before. In Pennsylvania, it always was like you fill out your ballot and you put it in the secret envelope.
And right.
You put
it in, and it makes sense. Like, I get it. Right.
That's been a process. But in regards to mail-in, like, I was going to vote in person. And then I realized that, like, election day and the days that follow election day is probably going to be very hectic throughout the entire country. And obviously, Allegheny County is a huge county in the state of Pennsylvania.
Right.
So I realized that there's a good chance that I will be needed longer than my normal 8-hour day on election day. So I was like, I don't want to miss voting. So I had my ballot already. I had it filled out. And I was like, I'm just going to vote. I'm just going to destroy this. But I didn't. I just held on to it because just in case.
Right. You never know.
And I got to that point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and like mail this in. Then I was like, the mail system sucks, so I'm not dealing with that. So I went down to the county election office and dropped my ballot off in person.
Right.
So it went directly to the county election office. So all that to say that I don't trust a lot of this process because there's so many different confusing things out there.
Right.
But I will say to everybody out there, like, if you have the opportunity to vote by mail, you should do it, absolutely. And if you can go and drop it off at your election office, that's even better. Like, trust yourself.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the point of the process is, the point of what I was trying to make is that people already are jaded, you know, by our system. And now this man and his supporters have been able to spread fear into the country again about the entire current voting situation because of COVID. They would much rather you risk catching COVID standing in line for multiple hours to go vote.
Because they know, like, the whole mail-in process in the states that had it prior to this election it overwhelmingly favored Democrats anyway.
Okay.
So that's why Republicans are like,
it's rigged. Like, you know, your vote won't count. Like, all these different conspiracy theories that they're throwing out there is because they know that they overwhelmingly lose when it comes to mail. And they know that, like, they've seen the primary, or not the primaries, but the midterm elections 2 years ago, and how Democrats came out and showed out and took the House back because we were tired of it. We're sick of it. So they know if now they don't even got to get up, like the ballot comes to them in the mail and all they got to do is drop it in the mailbox, of course they're going to be against that.
Well, and it's just like, it just shows like, look how far this one went. We're now to the point where even us who, you know, practice a lot of times doing our due diligence as citizens and practicing our right to vote are like, child, I'm dropping mine off at the elections office because I don't even want to put mine in the mail.
Yeah,
I mean, like, that is where we are. Like, I drop mine in the mail, and this is a crazy part. So the one guy who actually got arrested for throwing mail out, one of his routes was in Bloomfield. So he was in Lawrenceville. So he would pick up from those places. I actually thought about taking mine and mailing it outside my job, and something told me, just drop it in the mailbox by your house in your neighborhood. And can you imagine had I dropped it in there and then found out that this man was on somewhere on that route? Like, either way, it was in that community. I would have sat there and never known that
your vote counted.
But then from doing that research, I did find a tool that I'm going to put on a website will tell you when to get your stuff and if your vote was recorded.
Nice. You definitely need to show us that.
And guess where I got that link from? Fox News.
Okay. Well, it was actually also truthful. In Allegheny County, though, Wes, could you mention that you specifically dropping off your mail? Everybody, like Dante said, in Allegheny County, I too have to drop off my mail. So if you're in Allegheny County and you want to drop off your mail, go to 542 Forbes Ave, so downtown, and you can drop it off if you don't want to trust the mailboxes. Yeah, right. And they're starting, the city county, but yeah, and they start weekend hours starting October, like this past week. Yeah. So 8:30 to 4:30, go downtown, 542 Forbes Ave, room 601, drop off your ballot in person so we don't have to be, you know.
So just to piggyback off of Joy, when you go, if you don't have your ballot already, you're going to have to go up to room 601 and they will give you your ballot there. You can fill it out there and then you can turn it in on the first floor. When you walk in, they have it set up. The signs are there. Like, they make it known that you could come and drop this ballot off there. I really appreciate it. You literally just follow the signs and the arrows. And when you walk into the first floor of the county building, they have two people set up. And then you take your ballot to them, and, like, they inspect the envelope to make sure everything is good. Because if it is, like, messed up or whatever, again, you can go back upstairs and get, you know what I mean? Like,
So, and that's not even just good in Allegheny County, though. No. Shout out to that. Like, I saw in California, they had a lot of, like, in-person ballot boxes and voting areas. And also, I wanted to touch on this. I don't know if anybody in Allegheny County, especially speaking of election and polling places, if you're looking for, like, some part-time money, I know poll workers are in desperate need, especially because COVID has taken a lot of the older population who normally facilitate those polling places. COVID has taken them out of the running. So if you're in Allegheny County or anywhere and you want to make some extra money, then definitely do that. And all across the country, if you hop onto your local website, aboutvoting.gov per your state, you'll be able to find locations where you can take your ballot and drop it off in person if you want to do that. Because the most important thing is that we vote, right?
Yes.
I agree.
So it was just concerning, and because I was afraid that my vote wasn't going to count. But I will find that link and I will put it on the website.
Thanks,
so that you can check to see. It actually showed my last vote was recorded. So I apparently did make my signature correct so that they didn't throw it out for not having a matching signature. But yes, if you have not voted, please go vote. Get your stuff together, put it in the mail, or drop it at a ballot box and tell your friends and family to go vote. So
the last thing I'm going to say is that, like, we're talking about things we need to fight for when we vote these people in. Every state in this country needs to be early voter. Like, I feel like the beginning of October, you should be able to walk into a voting location and make your select. It shouldn't be one day, but you should get, there should be 6 solid weeks of the ability. And maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's
food for thought. Yeah. So maybe we need to make that a platform that we start talking about. Let's change our voting practices. Get more people included.
Get more people involved.
Let's celebrate some, like, amazing Black people on the other side of the show, right?
Yeah.
You want to come back and talk about some MVBs?
All right. Well, this is the tail end of the episode. And this is where we introduce to you our most valuable blacks.
Yeah. We're giving flowers.
Giving you some vocals. So this week, mine is a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race from season 8, if you are a fan of the show. His name is Xavion Michael Davenport, and he goes by the name of Chi-Chi Devane. I fell in love with Chi-Chi because he's literally that one person. It's like you come from the streets and you just want to like be a professional in your career and make it. So that was like pretty much his storyline about being poor and growing up in a really bad neighborhood. But his charisma and his ability to slay the game by backflipping, drop splits, like all that talent is what made me fall in love with her on the show. She's recently passed away. She passed away in August. She was pretty young, and she was diagnosed with a disease called scleroderma. So it basically like really affects like your mobility and the hardening of your organs. But I just wanted to send that homie some love because you always want to see the best for somebody. And I felt like if he didn't have that disease, he could have been like...
He would have came into his own.
Right. He would have been like a big, you know, one like how the big drag queens are. But if you haven't checked out season 8, find it. It's hard to find on the internet because of, I think, licenses and stuff. But my favorite line from Chi-Chi is, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Love it.
So that's my most valuable black.
Gone way too soon. I love Chi-Chi as well.
Not gone, but just gone from the...
No, she died.
Episode. Oh my gosh. Sorry.
So, I'm going to go ahead and move on.
Sorry, I was like reading. That was my bad.
My MVP is Miss Anjanue Ellis. She is currently playing Hippolyta in Lovecraft Country. She is destroying this role. I mean, she's so amazing. But she's had a phenomenal like 2 years. She also played the Clark sister's mother.
Yes, she did.
And I mean, she played the hell out of that role.
She sure did.
She played in When They See Us in 2019. Like, I feel like this woman needs her flowers, and she needs them now. She's played in a lot of other things. Birth of a Nation. She was in Ray. And I feel like she's starting to get acclaim now, which is excellent, meaning hopefully she'll be in more roles because she just is such a phenomenal actress. And we all should, like, give her her flowers and applause now. And like I say about other people, give her her awards. Like, she needs them all.
Yes, they need
she
to get.
She deserves them all. Break them out. Let her have them. She needs to put them on her mantle. Thanks.
I mean, the way she, and you know, because her in Lovecraft Country is phenomenal. I mean.
When she had to open that portal.
Listen, she tapped into every ounce of Mama Bear that she possibly had.
I gotta watch this.
I'm telling you, and she basically kept open an entire universe. Decades of a universe. Opens a doorway. Connected universes to save her daughter. But wait, like, she's so fierce.
I have to say one more thing. I mean, the actress is amazing, but like that character, how intelligent she is, like the math and the like lining everything up to make sure they went to the exact right time. And like, she was like, there's so many different, we got to make sure we have the right like equation, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Phenomenal. I love her and I love the actress. It's just amazing.
I mean, when I'm watching it, I get so much STEM from this, and I don't know if you know, if STEM is like a science, technology, engineering, math. They're trying to get like black girls and like brown girls getting more involved in science. And as I'm watching this, I'm getting like all of the Hidden Figures movie. I'm getting every black girl magic like you can possibly get, and they highlight the math, they highlight the science, they highlight the astronomy of it, they celebrate the Greek, the language. I mean, this series is good, and she has a way of tying it together with her phenomenal actress skills, and then like the way she delivers. I don't even know if what she's saying is right. Because I can't answer.
It don't even matter.
Okay, but I'm convinced when I
believe it.
I believe it. I believe it. Okay, so my MVP for this week, this shouts out to a nurse
from Boston, Massachusetts. This week, shout out to Janae Andreades, and I hope I'm saying that name right. I'm probably not. But she worked all of she worked her way through nursing school, and now 10 years later, she's a nurse practitioner at the same hospital where she was formerly a janitor.
Yeah, I think I read past that.
Yeah, and she basically she said, "It's tough to be the person that cleans. If I had to go back and do it all again, I would. It's so worth it." Her journey started. She was working at a fast food chain restaurant, and she had just applied for a custodial position at the hospital. She got the call, and she just decided, she said, even if it was cleaning, as long as I was near patient care, I'd be able to observe things. I thought it was a good idea. She says her favorite part of nursing is being able to bring relief. I just really love the intimacy with people. Now, 10 years later, she is a nurse practitioner at this hospital, and I'll just show you guys this picture because it's, like, super impressive. She wears the badges of all three stages of her time at the hospital.
One of her as the custodian,
one as just a regular nurse. I can't say regular because ain't nothing regular about nurses.
That's true.
But just as a nurse. And then her final, she just started as a nurse practitioner. So just like shout out to her. Again, shout out to Miss Janae's Andreades from Boston, or sorry, from Springfield, Massachusetts. She is just beginning her career as a nurse practitioner, and she wears all three of
that's what's like, up.
How dope is that?
I could never.
And I mean, for somebody, well, you know, she started out, and again, like, you know, taking a job at the hospital, just working in the custodian department. She's she like, listen,
see and be
I want to be there, and right. She and 10 years of hard work. And that's amazing. So shout out to Black Girl Magic.
Yeah, you have to send that to me so we can post. Yeah,
we'll have to put that on the page.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, it's been another good episode, I believe.
Thanks.
We appreciate you guys for listening. Please continue to listen, like, share, you know, tell your mamas and your daddies and your uncles and aunts all about this show.
Everybody.
Make sure they're listening. And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.